Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last night, what a night of baseball. It was a long night of baseball. And one of the guys who got to sit there and watch every second of it until 1:15 in the morning Eastern time, he is not going to accept the Met GM job because he's too smart.
He's just an intelligent man. He's a brilliant man.
That's the great Ron Darling.
And honestly, Ron, I would not want you to have the Met GM job because we love you, and then we might have to kill you.
Exactly. I don't know. I'll tell you, it was just such an amazing game, and I apologize if my voice is a little raspy, but I don't know if I've talked 5 hours straight in a long, long time, but It was an historic kind of game. It wasn't a perfect game, and not everything went probably the way it should have, but, boy, it was highly entertaining.
All right, we got to start with the Altuve home run that wasn't a home run. I mean, what was your thoughts on that, Ron?
Well, here's my thought, because, you know, as I'm watching the play unfold, you have to remember that there's two things I'm looking at. I'm looking at the play. And then with my peripheral vision, I'm also looking at the umpire, Joe West. So I'm looking not only for the play, but also the call. I think, now, think doesn't really factor into this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think that Mookie Betts was going to make that play. That's how great he is. Second, from our angle, there's absolutely no way we can see if the fan is reaching over or if the fan is just comfortably in their seat trying to catch a home run. By the trajectory, I think it was a home run. I think it was 2, 3, 4 feet over the wall and going into the stands. The only reason it was knocked down at all is because Betts is just, he's remarkable. But out of my peripheral vision, I saw Joe West call it as fan interference. And as soon as he called that, in my mind, I felt that there was no way they were going to overturn it. Now, the only way they would have overturned it, and I think it could have happened. We have a camera down the right field line that would have had a beautiful picture that would have showed whether it was in the stands or not. The reason it wasn't used and that Chelsea never got to see it is because the security guy who's supposed to be sitting down facing the fans and not watching the game stood up and got into the action because, like any human being, is excited to see the ball coming his way. He blocked the entire camera. That camera would have showed 100% whether it was in the stands and whether Betts was in the stands. Since that camera was not used, Chelsea never got to see it. So that's why it stood with the call by Joe West.
All right. Now you said you felt that Betts was going to make the play on the ball. But what do you think the call should be, Ron? Do you think it was the right call by West?
I think that it was a home run, Joe, and I think it was a two-run home run.
Right.
But I also think that you have to factor in that maybe Mookie Betts could have made that play. He's just that good. So we got robbed of maybe Betts making an amazing play. We got robbed of maybe Altuve with a two-run home run to start the game. But I can't fault Joe West, and I know it's easy to fault Joe West, because from where the angle he is, it certainly was in line with the angle I have. And there's no way from that angle that I can see whether Betts is in the stands, whether the people in the stands are reaching over the wall.
Right.
And I think if you watch it in replay, you know, if you're open-minded, I think you at least come through with, boy, I don't know. I'm not 100% either way.
No, that's the way I feel about it. If Joe West would have initially said home run, I'd say, hey, you can't overturn it. Same thing with him saying interference. I just don't think there's enough video evidence to overturn it. I'm dealing with a battle here because there's all the Yankee fans around me who want it to be a home run. And I like ticked at me for saying, God forbid they got it right. But there's a way to solve this, and I don't know if baseball is willing to do it, and that's move the fans just a little bit further back so we don't have this kind of bizarre controversy.
You know, they do that in some stadiums. You know, they've done that in Philadelphia in left field. They've planted those flowers there. So, you know, there's that 3, 4, 5 feet that gives the umpires a little easier call. Now I understand, you know, you're trying to sell a business. You're trying to sell seats. And certainly if you have first row in right field, you're going to feel pretty special when you're at the ballpark. But I think that they do it in Cleveland and they do it other places. There should be a 5-foot window, some way that it keeps the fans, even if they reach over, they don't reach into the action, the play. And that would mean that the Houston Astros, and I'm not picking on them, but they would have to eliminate the front row seats and put something there. And business-wise, I don't have an MBA, but I do know those seats probably generate a lot of money during the year.
Yeah. Well, you did go to Yale. I mean, come on, stop.
Think about it this way, Joe. That was a long time ago. And think of all the education I've gotten. And you know what it's got me to? I'm an analyst for baseball for the New York Mets.
So. No, that's not a bad gig. And a very good one, may I add.
And Aaron, calling the ALCS.
You're also a pretty good pitcher, so let's not forget that as well.
I got to tell you, you know what one of my favorite parts of last night was? I feel as if you did this on purpose as a tribute to Joe, to me, and all the Met fans, that you purposely said, you know what I'm going to do? One time, I'm going to call Mookie Betts Wilson because I just want to let the Mets fans
know. Was that for us, Ron?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
And we only wish we had Mookie Betts on the Mets, by the way. Let me throw that in, too.
Yes.
You know, when you're in this kind of world, it's kind of a gotcha kind of moment. You guys know it. I know it. We've all been through it. And, boy, you never want to make that kind of mistake, especially the Red Sox fans who have
a
memory of Mookie Wilson.
That's a good point, Ron.
You know what? If I'm going to make a mistake, saying Mookie Wilson's name is always a good mistake.
No, I loved it. No, are you kidding me? As a Met fan watching this, it made me feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I was bringing this up to Joe because this was an incredible game, and clearly Craig Kimbrell has been a roller coaster, to say the least, here in the postseason. And Cora had David Price warming up numerous times.
Yeah.
Were you surprised he didn't pull the trigger? Because I started to wonder as the inning was going on, what is he warming up for if he's not going to go to him here?
You know, it's interesting. I think that I think you guys would agree with this. This is the year that we're really seeing the managers have no problem pulling the trigger, right?
No,
they are pulling the trigger left and right, and I was very surprised. Not only was Cora not pulling the trigger on Kimbrell, although I knew he was going to stay with him because it was like a do-or-die kind of thing, but I thought he stayed a little long with Porcello, in my opinion. But I think it had a lot to do with these managers are scripting the games, or they're trying to. And I think for Cora to get through this game with the number of pitchers he had available, he had to get Porcello through four. So he did. He did not pitch well, but he got him through four. The big guy that he's got to really consider, maybe not this round, but if he gets through and he goes to the World Series, and I'm talking about Alex Cora, you might have to think about Ryan Brazier being your closer in that series, and Kimbrell playing a setup kind of role. Now, boy, that's going to draw the ire of, I'm sure, Kimbrell and others. But Ryan Brazier has been your best reliever for that Red Sox team, and for him to go, what, an inning and two-thirds last night, and then Barnes came in and two crazy curveballs to Tyler White to strike him out. Those two were your most effective relievers last night.
Talking to the great Ron Darling, of course, he's doing the Red Sox Astros series for TNT, doing a tremendous job. You know, Ron, I one thing about this though, and Evan and I talked about this too. Here's this great game, this great LCS playoff game, championship game, and the game starts almost 9 o'clock at night on the East Coast. and the game ends at almost 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, baseball's got a little bit of a problem with that. I mean, they got to – and these are the biggest games of the year. And let's be honest, I mean, unless you are a diehard Astro or Red Sox fan on the East Coast, staying up till, you know, till the bitter end, you know, it's pretty tough to stay up and watch these games.
No, I totally agree with you, Joe. And, you know, I'm certainly part of the problem, not the solution. I know that my my broadcast partner, Brian Anderson, has been very funny because I'll sit next to him and in between innings, he'll take his headset off. He'll go, I can't, this is the longest game. I said, Brian, all of these games are going to be exactly like this.
Yeah.
None of them are going to change. I think that, you know, what baseball probably needs to do, you know, and I know that, you know, this is a bottom line business, and but I think for the fans, each series should have a daytime-like game. So, okay, you're going to max out in a seven-game series. Six of them are going to be these kind of games that are four-plus hours, and only the diehards are going to watch. But, you know, we're also trying to foster a relationship with some of our young people who want to be fans, guys, young people that are 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And they certainly, unless they're a latchkey kid, they are certainly being told by their parents to go to bed just about the time the game starts. So that would be, you know, a way of baseball to get back to the fans to say, hey, listen, we're going to have one game for every series. It's going to be in the afternoon. We're not going to max out how much we can make with sponsors and advertising and this and that or whatever. But I think it would go a long way to foster a nice relationship and also to make sure that our young fans will be able to have a memory just like you and I did. Joe, you and the 69 team and the daytime World Series games. And me, of course, watching that series and thinking like everyone else that the Mets didn't have a chance, that the Baltimore Orioles were the best team in baseball, and the Mets pulled off the miracle. I mean, those things will be memories that you'll have forever. I'm hoping young people get the same thing.
I agree. TBS's exclusive coverage of the 18 AL postseason continues tonight. ALCS Game 5 begins at 7 o'clock Eastern time. I know that when guys struggle or even come up big in the postseason, we all jump to the conclusion, this is a postseason player, this is not a postseason player. And usually you err on the side of, well, let's look at the sample size. Look, the sample size is there with David Price. I mean, he has been so miserable as a postseason starter. But here's what I'm curious about. They're up 3-1. They know, he knows, back of his mind, I would think, Game 6 and 7 would be in Boston. Chris Sale likely pitches Game 6. Do you think there's a chance that we may see a relaxed David Price tonight, even though it's the postseason, a chance to clinch it, but knowing, all right, I don't pitch well tonight, at least we have 6 and 7 in my own building?
Yeah, I think that if he's going to be relaxed, this will be the most relaxed he's ever been. If you noticed when he pitched in Boston, he kept kind of pumping at his heart, like trying to stop his heartbeat from beating. I would never do that, but he was. I think that there's a couple of things working in his direction. I think, one, you know, the Red Sox have a lead. I don't want to say a commanding lead because the ace in the hole, Justin Verlander, is pitching tonight. And, you know, you're almost assured. He's 6-1 in the postseason with Houston. September and October with Houston, he's 14-1. I'm pretty sure that he's going to give you an A-plus effort tonight. So he's relaxed because the Red Sox have a lead. Second, he's on the road. I think that'll be important. Third, I think in some weird way, it's almost good that he got up last night and got his heart rate up, and then tonight will only be expected to go 4 or 5 innings at the most. And I think the numbers work in his favor in this way. He didn't pitch well in Boston. He kind of survived his start. But last year, he pitched against the Astros in relief. 6 2/3 shutout innings. He does match up well against his team. Matches up better than most teams he's going to face. And I think you'll see a relaxed effort. I just don't think you're going to see a long effort from him, just because, you know, that's the nature of how the game goes. The great Kershaw going 7 innings yesterday almost had a heart attack. I mean, that's a complete game now. in playoff baseball. So I think he'll do well. I don't think he'll be out there long. And probably this is one of those games. I think Justin Verlander, to me now, is his generation's John Smoltz. You know, when he takes the ball in the postseason, you know you're going to get an A effort.
Mm. Ron, got to ask you, though, about the Mets situation before we let you go. Any ideas who you think this GM is going to be? I mean, you think we're going to see it, like, before the season starts? Like, who this guy
well, you know, I mean, before the season starts would be good. Before you start acquiring players would be better. I look at it this way, and I think this is how I feel. I think there's three or four names that are out there. I think that instead of one big name being hired or all of us thinking that this is going to be the main person, I think this is going to be kind of like, lack of a better term, kind of like an oligarchy. And I don't know who's going to be the head of it, but I think you're going to have a number of people, two or three, that are going to have different roles within the organization. And I think for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's very, very difficult unless you're a top of the food chain kind of guy, Andrew Friedman, other people like that, that can run an entire baseball business. There's so much to do. And then secondly, and I think the most important, is that I think that at some point a hire has to please both the father and son. And I think if you do a hire of two or three players, I think men or women to fill those roles, you have a much, much better job, much better attempt to try to placate and please everyone involved.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's horrible.
That's scary, Ron.
You know what I mean? That's terrible.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think I think that all the elite young people that we've heard their names bandied about that want autonomous and sovereign power, I don't think that's a part of the Mets job. So I think that's just my opinion. Mm. I think 100% wrong. It's just an opinion from an outside guy looking in.
By the way, let me just say this to her. I know you can't say it, but I'm going to say it, okay? The ownership is a disaster. It's just, there's no other way. It's just,
well, when you have to placate father and son and they want to be involved, I mean, that is a disaster. Of course it is.
Oh, my God.
Well, think of it this way. You know, take away all that stuff. You know, you still have the foundation of a ball club that can do something, but really, you know, offensively, just because of Cespedes' injury or whatever, they do have to upgrade and get to the point where they can catch it, where they can score some more runs, and let's hope that we've waited a long time. We got it from DeGrom last year. Let's hope that the four guys you have can throw together one of those magical seasons, you know, and then we might be talking a different tune next summer.
By the way, even though he doesn't hustle, I'll take Manny Machado on the Mets. I know it's never happening. I understand that. The vault will not be open. I get it. I understand. It's painful. But you know what? Let him come to us. I want to have the opportunity as a Met fan to complain that he doesn't hustle. You know what I mean?
I want to get into fights with half the teams in baseball, right? I want that. It'll be fun.
Well, Joe, get the second mortgage on the home because you're going to need $35
million. I know.
Ron, we'll be watching. Thank you very much, man, for popping up.
Appreciate it.
You guys are the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ron.
The great Ron Darling, MLB on TBS analyst. And, of course, coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.